RDU 98.5, and you're tuned in for another Audio and Tekeen. I am Bex, and on today's show we've got the incredible Gareth Shute, and we're talking about his article on audio culture about smoke-free Rockquest. Gareth, how you going?
Kia ora. Yeah, I thought it'd be a good one since it wasn't too long ago. The latest round finished just a couple of months ago, so top of mind.
Yeah, top of mind. So can you just give a brief explanation of what smoke-free Rockquest is for any listeners that might have no idea what we're talking about?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a lot more complicated than when it started, but at the moment it's just the main competition is in two parts, and it's for high school students to play original songs. A competition, all the schools throughout the country are able to put in bands. And they can either go on the sort of main awards, or there is a Pacifica Beat section where you can do more cultural stuff or like more beat-based kind of hip-hop stuff, just because it's quite hard to compare those two. I guess they separated that out. But these days there's also BandQuest, which is like intermediate and primary school. So you can have bands are allowed to do covers on those ones. So it's like massive amount of kids take part now in different ways.
Yeah, it's kind of become like a nationwide phenomenon, really.
Yeah, totally.
And I really like what you've written here to give it a bit more, history and a bit more depth for readers as well. So you're talking about how there was two high school teachers in Christchurch who first realised the value of having an annual Rockquest open to high school students. Glenn Common was based at Hagley Community College, though he also taught bass and guitar at a dozen other schools across Christchurch. And Pete Rainey was a classroom teacher at Hornby High School, as well as being a violin/mandolin player. So both of them were in lots of bands and everything like that. But I quite like how you highlighted the fact that it was Christchurch local musician Ron, I might get this last name wrong, but Kajestrup, who was created the very first Rockquest as a part of his role at radio station C93 FM. So, yeah, can you just like talk a little bit more about that and how the three of them have kind of banded together for this?
Yeah, so Ron Kajestrup just did it as a like radio station promo, as you say, and so they got just a high school band competition. They got 20 bands in 1988, and they managed to get an audience of about 1,000 people. And I think he wanted to keep it going, but then the radio station rebranded and they just decided, oh, we don't want to put on this massive event. But Glenn Common and Pete Rainey both went to that first event, and they were like, oh my god, this would be an amazing way to teach high school music in a lot more hands-on way. And it was at a time where, I guess, prior to that, high school music was all about doing your grades and learning about major scales, minor scales, and it was just starting to get to the point where it was like, how can we actually make these people into musicians who can perform? So they just, you know, a light bulb went on off over their head, like, this would be the perfect way. Then they have something to focus the whole year around, putting a band together. And so they took it over the next year in 89, and they sold out a little event there. And then in 1990, there was luckily, they were doing the 150 years of the Treaty of Waitangi, and there was this government money around for funding events, just any kind of cultural events. And so that gave them another boost. And then finally in 1991, I guess, the modern day era began, because that was when they were first sponsored by Smoke Free, and that's how they became Smoke Free Rockquest, all one word. So all the way from 1991 till now, that association's been there, and also Rock Shop as well came on board. That's another sponsor that's been with them the whole time. So yeah, but I mean, it did have a lot of connection with Otatahi Christchurch in the early years. I feel like people were maybe more aware of it then, which is probably why, you know, all the guys from Op Shop played in different bands when they were young, and Anika Moa and Bic Runga both got signed off their performances at Rockquest and stuff. And so Anika Moa was beaten actually by Hannah Connington's band at high school,
Handsome Jeffrey.
So, yeah, she came second, but she got an international record deal from it. So I guess that's as good as first prize.
Wow. Well, I guess that kind of begs the, like, you know, the question where a lot of people always aim to get first or anything like that. But sometimes actually just being the runner-up does more benefit.
Yeah, well, it's a hard one to judge, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, I find that even looking at this year's finalists, like, kids that age they aren't fully formed in their tastes and stuff. Like, I think the kind of music you'd make if you were 16 would be very different from when you got going by the time you're 20. Often your taste isn't fully developed. So often bands win, but that's like their comfortableness on stage, like if they're natural performers, and their musicality and technical proficiency. But that doesn't always, you know, later on, technical proficiency is maybe not as important as taste once you actually get out into the wide world. So, yeah, it's a tricky one to judge 16 and 17-year-olds on their music writing skills.
It is a tricky one, isn't it?
Yeah, and you get these crazy names like Nesian Mystic when they played them. They called themselves the Tropical Penguins.
I kind of love that they've gone from the Tropical Penguins to Nesian Mystic, because I would argue that Nesian Mystic is probably one of the most notable names within, like, New Zealand music. Yeah, like, you hear Nesian Mystic and then you're immediately like, when I'm all turning moon.
That is funny. Yeah, they spelled Mystic differently, but they probably didn't even need to. That's a funny thing, because usually bands change a name for, like, so they can be looked up on Google or whatever. But Mystic, there would have been no other band called Nesian Mystic, even if they'd spelled.
Yeah, there's no way in hell. But I like how further on in the article you're talking about how the smoke-free Pacifica Beats competition continued to expand, with the number of entrants doubling over the first decade of the new millennium. It's also had its own fair share of future stars taking part. One striking example is Teeks, who sang in his high school reggae band Aho Mai Rangi and was awarded most promising vocalist at the Pacifica Beats finals in 2011. Now, that's pretty crazy, because Teeks is huge now.
Yeah, I mean, the early 2000s was when it started getting crazy, you know. I guess it just becomes a rite of passage for musicians, and that's when you get like Chex, Kimbra, Evermore played there. Even Evermore were homeschooled, and so they had to make up a name for their school to enter the competition. It doesn't always work out as well. Like, sometimes I think it's good experience, even if they get nowhere. Like, Nadia Reid and Aldous Harding into the Otago regionals as a duo in 2007. They got nowhere. They didn't even get past the regional ones. And the Vales, there's actually a funny story in there from Ben Andrews from the Vales about how they had all these alternative guitar tunings.
Yeah.
And when they turned up, the event had a guitar tech who just tuned them all to natural tunings offstage, thinking he was helping them. So then when they got on and started playing their songs, they all sounded completely terrible. And because they were just kids, they didn't know what to do, so they just kept going.
You know what? Kudos to them for keeping it going. But God, when you write a song in a different standard and then they put it in, oh no.
Yeah.
God, that's you almost think asking that actually, to fail.
Well, that's the thing. If you're a grown-up, you'd think, oh, I just stop and restart and just make some apologies and stuff. But it was the same, actually. I did the Auckland. I played in the Auckland Regional competition when I was a teenager, and I played bass for one song, and the bass string actually broke, which is so rare for a bass guitar string to break when you play live. So it was really bad luck. And then, of course, I didn't know what to do, so I just kept playing. But as soon as the string breaks, it's completely out of tune, so it probably sounded terrible. And then it took forever to organize another bass between songs. And of course, we were so stressed that the second song we played like twice as fast. So
that is incredible. Well, little trip down memory lane for you, hey Gareth.
Yep. So you can survive though when it doesn't go well, but it's always good experience, I think.
That is true. That is very true. Well, do you have any other just final notes or words just about Smoke Free for, you know, for listeners?
Well, I just like to highlight this year's winners, Equilibrium from Otatahi Christchurch from Burnside High School. Well done to them. They're a four-piece, weird kind of instrumental, sort of hard rock. Like, they had these quite full-on guitar solos, but then their keyboardists would also come out and play sax solos and stuff, all instrumental. And yeah, so I recommend people check that out. I'm not sure if they're like I say, like, they're not fully developed, but I feel like they're a set of musicians who could go on to be something like the guys from Yokozuna or whatever, you know, these technically proficient guys who you know, gradually feed into hip hop, or like, yeah, all those Yokozuna guys play with all the different hip hop bands up here in Auckland. So I feel like they have a future, you know, if they can keep directing their sounds in interesting ways.
Oh, totally.
But yeah, I mean, there's such variation at the final this year, though. You know, the Saplings from Hagley College and Christchurch Girls was just a two-piece as well, who did a cappella, and I thought they were pretty amazing. So yeah, a lot of stuff to this day coming from Otatahi Christchurch out of Smoke Free Rock Quest. So keep an eye on the local scene.
Nah, that is the one though, Gareth. There is a lot of incredible homies down here that are just doing god fantastic stuff, and it's quite good to hear that, you know, Otatahi took it out again.
Yep.
Oh, well, thank you so much for your time today, Gareth, and thank you so much for another incredible article. As always, very good read.
Yeah, go to Audio Culture and have a look for the full story, and you'll find a lot more different anecdotes and bands in there and stuff. Yeah, it's a really fascinating kind of story. It's something that other countries really don't have, and it's really cute seeing all the photos of everyone where they're like little kids as well. There's a great photo of Kimbra in there when she looks like so tiny.
Yeah, I was actually looking through. It's quite funny. There is so many, like even the ones of like Anika Moa and like a little beanie, and you know.
Yeah.
It's quite good.
I was really lucky. The guy, Chris Trail, who is one of the official photographers often at Smoke Free Rock Quest, supplied me with heaps of photos. So there's heaps of cute photos in there.
Oh, yeah. What a legend.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you so much for your time today, Gareth. As always, we appreciate it so much, and always a pleasure chatting with you, mate.
Cool. Catch you next time.
Awesome. See you next time. Ka kite. And that has been another Audio Antiquing with Gareth Shute. Another incredible article there. Smoke Free Rock Quest. Feel free to find it on Audio Culture online. And I'll see you guys next time.